Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer. It's time to say goodbye to sacrificing your well-being on the way to success. As an entrepreneur in wellness, integrative medicine fellow, university lecturer, longtime physician assistant, experienced in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine, and a keynote speaker, I have a lot of experience and expertise to share. So get ready to optimize your well-being and move in the direction of your dreams. Help spread this valuable and powerful message by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and community. Together, we can make a profound impact on the world. Now for a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author. They are not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations, and the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Please always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional. And if you have any questions regarding your specific health, changes to diet and exercise, and any medical conditions. I'm so excited. We have an absolutely amazing guest today, Keith Mitchell. And Keith is a former all-pro NFL football player, turned internationally renowned mindfulness teacher and celebrity yogi, a holistic health and wellness advocate, community activist, and humanitarian. He's committed to providing holistic tools that help others achieve optimal health, harmony, and aliveness to the fullest degree. After a life-changing football injury left Keith partially paralyzed, he utilized yoga and meditation to fully recover. He now shares his inspirational transformation with others as a highly sought-after spiritual lifestyle wellness coach, teacher, and motivational speaker. Although Keith's football accident forced him into an early retirement, it led him to his true life's calling, inspiring others to move beyond survivor and victim consciousness to full empowerment. Keith is a leader and exemplary teacher for people dealing with emotional and physical suffering. His personal shift from professional sports athlete to spiritual luminary allows him to mentor from experience with full transparency and authenticity, utilizing his many years of yoga and meditation training combined with his stellar pro athlete expertise. As the founder of the Lighted Up Foundation, Keith considers altruism and service as his life's purpose. Keith has been featured in NFL Films, People Magazine, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, USA Today, Sports Illustrated, Huffington Post, Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Bravo, and he's also presented at the Omega Institute, Deepak Chopra's home base, the White House, and many more. So welcome, Keith. It is an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Well, it's great to be here with you in this amazing time, and I look forward to diving into this incredible conversation that we're going to have. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you again. And, you know, I saw your Instagram live with Reverend Michael Beckwith, and I just thought, man, I want to have him on my show. He's, you know, was talking about, you were talking about such wonderful things, and I'm just so excited that we get to chat today.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, it's just a great time to be alive. And I'm looking forward to diving into our conversation today.
Well, I want to start, you know, originally I was like, I want to hear about your journey with your injury, but I think we can get into that in a minute. Because before recording, you and I were starting to do a little bit of, you know, chatting, and I was sharing what kind of we're going through after my daughter got exposed to someone who tested positive for COVID while playing soccer. And so she has to quarantine for 2 weeks. And, you know, I wanted to hear your thoughts and everything, because I think so many of us are trying to decide, like, to what level can we interact and, you know, see others and do it in a safe way. And I'm just curious, because I know you're doing a lot of traveling, what your thoughts are and how can people reclaim their power and sense of inner peace during everything going on right now.
Right. And speaking of peace, if we just dive into that one word, peace is a consequence. You know, when we even talk about fear is, it has the representation of what the unknown. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about consciousness is what? Clarity. Compassion is understanding, the highest form of love. So when I go into these types of things that we're dealing with, so it's an unknown that I'm not familiar with. So it behooves me to get a little bit familiar, right? So when we talk about things that we can pass to each other, we are dealing with the immune system. And I believe COVID is a real issue. However, as humans, we also have this immune system that innately was gifted to us by source, creator, or however you want to call it. and that, in my opinion, we're not so much familiar with. And so what I like to do is share with people, once I learn the dynamics of our immunity and realizing what our immunity is, it's an intelligence of how we are to navigate. It helps us navigate the planet. And it's a protective mechanism that's within us. Our birthright was gifted to us that we can propel and protect ourselves from things that we talk about from the standpoint of communal diseases or diseases. So I love to go into some of that talk, because that's the empowerment. Because, you know, we can talk about, you know, life is going to present itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a lot of unknowing in that sense. But when we can realize how we can and what we can do for ourselves to combat certain things that we're going to be dealing with. Now, in my opinion, that's an empowerment.
Yeah, no, that's, I think, really resonates with me too, because part of what I'm really passionate about is helping people feel like you have more control over your well-being than you currently realize, and specifically mental health, because that's an area that I've worked in when I was practicing clinically. And now it's a lot of what I do is trying to inform people of, you know, integrative medicine practices, optimizing mental health. But your immune system, like you said, you know, it's, we all have our immune systems, and there are different ways that we can help support it. And part of it, you know, which is what you're an expert in, is like mindfulness practices, you know, getting optimizing your mind, and yoga as well, taking care of your body. Now, you kind of diving back a little bit, like you went through such an incredible shift, and, you know, were dealt a huge challenge, right, after you had that injury, and you, like what you've accomplished and shifted and transformed and become through all of that is absolutely remarkable. So I'm curious if you could share a little bit about your journey and what happened after your injury, and some of the maybe bigger insights that you've gained throughout, I guess, your transformation.
Yeah, that's a great segue into, you know, again, how I got on this track, because, again, I didn't start like this, obviously. And, you know, coming from Texas, I always wanted to be this football player. And I put all my emphasis into becoming that. And actually, what was interesting about my journey as I was young, like probably 13 years old, a teacher talked to me about, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And it was a very interesting question. I never really contemplated. I didn't even know the word contemplate at that time. However, I really thought about it. And I'm like, where do I want to see myself? And like, again, speaking of like, well, am I going to put my hands into the possibility that my parents could afford me college, or do I want to create my own way? Mm-hmm. And so I began my journey, and it started with the things that was tangible to me that I felt I could gravitate with in regards to sports. So I went on that journey, and, you know, it took me into really possibility. And this is why I teach meditation from the standpoint of mindfulness, which is the contemplation. And it's all problems are solved by questioning and answering. Mm-hmm. So I began to put myself on that mission, and it led me through Texas A&M to the pros, being in 6 years in New Orleans, to the Houston Texans, and then Jacksonville Jaguars. And the reason why I'm here today is from the standpoint of when I was in Jacksonville, being a linebacker, all pro linebacker, making a tackle I had made a thousand times, million times at least, you know, as part of that game. I ended up on my back making this tackle. And unlike other tackles I had made, you typically, you know, have a big collision, you get up and you celebrate it. But on this particular play, I'm on my back, and I'm telling myself to move, and my body's not responding. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, so I can't move. I'm like, it's, you know, I'm telling Keith, get up. And my body's just like laying there. And, you know, I knew I was in trouble. I just couldn't feel a thing at that time. And I was diagnosed with a spinal contusion. Doctors told me that they didn't think that I would walk again. It was a lot of unknown things. In my opinion, there's still a lot of unknown things in regards to the spinal cord. And I happened to be one of the first cases that had a significant one like that. And there was just a lot of unknown. And I had an opportunity to be fearful. And I was fearful until a particular nurse talked to me about conscious breathing. And when she talked to me about conscious breathing, it changed. It forever changed my course.
That's incredible. You know, and talking about conscious breathing, that empowerment, right, that that nurse gave you or kind of woke up in you, like your body's own ability to heal. And that's something that I really resonate with. And I think it's so important for people to recognize, like, our bodies are amazing and we can really, our bodies can do so much more than we really think they can. And with your journey throughout your recovery, you know, with conscious breathing, and then obviously you got into yoga practices. And I think I heard you got really into nutrition too.
Yes.
I think I heard you talk about that with your conversation with Michael. And would love to hear a little bit more about that too, because that again is something I'm really passionate about. I think, you know, nutrition and food is medicine. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, going into the conscious breathing aspect and why it was such an invigorating moment for me to realize a tool and how that relates to empowerment is that when I realize I can be and I can contribute to my own healing, then I'm not the victim. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the empowerment piece, in my opinion, that created that ripple for me to move forward. And so what happens on the inhale, the diaphragm pushes down. On the exhale, it pushes up. And so through that process, I'm able to work with my body to circulate the nutrition it needs to revitalize itself, to rejuvenate itself, to nourish itself, right? And again, it was a game changer. But on top of that, it also propelled me to build an emotional maturity, because a lot of times when life is happening, we start to freak out. Even when you look at the word anxiety, anxiety really just simply means not enough oxygen to the brain. And then even you talk about the stresses. Well, stresses happen on how we consume, how much we consume, to what extent we consume. It also comes from a malnourishment comes from when we shut down ourselves, our expression. And, you know, when I always talk about depression is the suppression of expression. When we want to say, I love you, or when we want to say, I don't know what to do here, I need help. These types of things begin to create a chemical response in the body that begins to be acidic. And from anything that we know about acid internally for us in our bodies begin to deteriorate ourselves. And this is the dis-ease that goes on that I like to really talk about today, and how we can navigate within ourselves to uplift and build this empowerment, this true empowerment that we can go into the world and not be afraid.
Mm-hmm. The breathing, I would love to dig a little deeper. You know, I've learned some different techniques, like a 4-7-8 breath that Dr. Andrew Weil taught me. And I'm a huge fan of diaphragmatic breathing. That was something that I would do, like the belly breathing, when I was practicing all the time. You know, if I was having a difficult conversation or hearing something traumatic that someone was sharing with me, I would always pay attention to my breath. And that was so grounding for me. So those are things I always recommend. But I'm wondering if you maybe have some other great breathing techniques or things you like.
Well, of course, you know, like I said, from when we breathe from the belly, like you mentioned, we're helping the body circulate itself. Mm-hmm. So now let's go into what oxygen is. Like, I had a teacher, he took a 16-ounce water bottle, right? And it was one of those plastic water bottles, you know, and he drank it all, and then he took the, and so the bottle was empty, and then he crunched the plastic together, right? And then what he did was he breathed in it. So what happens when you breathe in it, it's all bunched together and it's this plastic bottle, it fills up. So what is this oxygen? So oxygen for me, how I interpret it is minerals. It's the vapor of minerals. And when we talk about water, water is minerals in liquid form. We talk about food. Food is a manifestation of minerals. And then we talk about people. There's 102 minerals within you. There's 102 minerals within me. Now that dynamic of human connection is human nourishment. And that's the baseline of our nourishment, that we neglect ourselves for various reasons, or the stresses that we put on our bodies that limit our ability to take in that nourishment. Mm-hmm. And again, we suffer the consequences that inhibit us from having that peace that we talked about in the beginning.
Yeah. I'm sure you went through a really dramatic change in your diet, going from being a football player to, you know, recovery. And are you plant-based, or what is the, like, your current, how do you eat currently, I guess is my question.
Well, I'm a vegan. I'm a vegan. For about 8 years, you know, and basically how I teach yoga meditation is, is the basis of human growth and development. It's like when we go through the curriculum within the various school systems, we learn about the external world, we learn about history, but we never learn how do we process our food? How does the hypothalamus gland work? How do we work our lymphatic system? You know, we don't really go into the depths of what we have. So we're searching, I like to joke about this, we're in search of the protein. When the realization the protein is within you. And so and how that works, and what I mean by it's within you, well, you have 75 trillion cells. So when you commit to doing something, now you begin to recruit those cells to support you and be with you on a day-to-day basis. So now you begin to process and synthesize amino acids that that will support you into doing what you do and say, okay, what does that sound like? What does that mean? Well, I'll give you a simple term. When you wear those tight shoes and your feet are all squunched together, where your body will be like, okay, we're going to synthesize some aminos, proteins, to build this callus to protect your foot, right? And that's the protein that I mean that we have within ourselves that we haven't even begun to realize. And when we really put that into understanding, now the world can look so much different for us.
Interesting. You know, one thing I want to know too, do you feel different as far as the diet that you're eating now versus the diet that you were eating when you were playing football? Can you tell, and maybe even more than diet, I mean, do you feel a difference in your vitality and your energy level and your excitement for life, you know, then compared to now?
Well, my physical body, I can look at it twofold. Like when I was younger, I in my 20s playing football, I mean, I could run all day. I don't think I can run all day, but for a good hour, I could give you a lot in an hour, 2 hours. But, you know, it's not apples to apples. I mean, I think when you condition to be an athlete, you put yourself in a, you're creating a whole, you've created a whole different dynamic of a protein that's produced mm-hmm. so much different variations of testosterone, things like that. I think I'm in really a good health from the standpoint that's going to allow me to transition, to be mobile, to be functional. And I geared myself toward that. When I was playing football, I was my life was consuming of things and ways I would train to be able to collide with people. And that's not a reality for me now. Yeah. So that's the difference. Okay. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. I mean, you're in a different place, right? And I'm curious too, like with football and that injury that you had, like that's traumatic. And I'm sure that with like the hits that you've had while you were playing, like there's a level of trauma there. And I think trauma for everyone, really, people have had different levels of experiences that have been traumatic for them. And that is a big part, I think, of optimizing mental health. I'm curious if the practices that you're currently doing with mindfulness and breathing and yoga, if you've been able to address like any trauma or if you help other people address trauma.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's a saying, you cannot talk someone into liberation. So even as we go through the variations of practices, meditation, mind practices, which I think are phenomenal, and I suggest and advise everyone get a mind practice. But however, we have to be the embodiment of it. It's the concept of knowledge is power. Well, knowledge and creating a library in your head is not where the power resides. The power resides in the knowledge that we gain to function differently, the knowledge we gain to put it into use, therefore it's power. So that's the learning curve when it comes to that. So that's what I found when I go into looking at my past, right? I had only learned myself to be an athlete. But see, that's the thing. I had really taken on a role. Like, you know, we can take on the role of being a doctor, a lawyer, and we can be really good at our role play. But that's also the limitation. And so through mindfulness, I began to develop as a human with the capacity to be a lawyer, a doctor, an athlete. But these things don't consume me. They don't represent all that I am. So when I realized that with that type of lens, now I expand myself and expose myself to possibility. And so I can be this amazing athlete, this amazing doctor, but I also can allow myself to develop into being a loving partner. Mm-hmm. I can divide my, I can go into being a philanthropist. I can begin to be and create a nonprofit organization, things like that. It's like, it's just going out of the realization that we're just this micro concept, and it's allowing us to be, again, greater than who we are, who we feel that we are. It's playing yeah. big. We have yeah. the opportunity to play big in this world. And in a lot of cases, unfortunately, we choose to play small.
Yeah. You know, I went through similar experience, and a lot of this started for me after I started to meditate. And it was after, you know, after my mom got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, I was like, okay, it was kind of just a wake up of, it changed the way I looked at the world. And it really led me down the path of seeking out integrative wellness and healing and all different stuff in my own personal journey. But through meditation, really not being afraid to really look, not really being, getting over that fear of really it, kind of looking at myself and seeing where was I afraid? Where was I holding myself back? Where had I created this box of this is how I should be or kind of programmed to be from, you know, past experiences, whatever.
And not even just saying where. I think where is a great discovery. And that's what I feel with meditation is really interesting as the observer. But here's the thing that we put on top of the where is why. And what I mean by why am I allowing this to stop me? Why am I standing in the way of having the love I desire? Why am I standing in the way of, I complain about my back, but what am I doing to resolve my back issue? You know, it begins to, again, put the cards in your hand, begins to put the empowerment in your hand, and now you got to make a move. You got to do the do, if you will. And I think sometimes what we find is people, for whatever reason, the complacency in some cases, or just maybe not even knowing, takes over. So for the people who are watching, we're giving the ball, we're putting the ball in your court. And so now you can dribble the ball. And when the game is on the line, like it is, because we're in the fourth quarter and the game is on the line, and you can take the shot, you can be LeBron and take the shot. Right?
I love it. You know, one thing that it helped me a lot was when I started to question, like, is this true? Is this real? Is this belief I have about myself, is it a true belief? And I started to test it, be like, I don't know if I want to believe that about myself anymore. So I'm going to go and I'm going to try and prove it wrong. And it was really, like you said, just being like, I don't want to be in that box anymore. I don't want to have that label. I want to recreate and who I am. And you've talked about not being the victim, right? So it's like mm-hmm. creating a new story for yourself that,
yeah,
you know, not being attached to that old worn out story that doesn't serve you.
Yeah. Yeah. And those stories, we say them so much, we begin to believe it. There's a quote I saw the other day, you exist as an idea in your mind. Mm-hmm. And so what we do with meditation, we create space around your thoughts. Now your perception can be, it can have an expansion. Kind of like when you talk about renovating your home, like I'm renovating my home right now, it's a mess. So when you renovate your home, now I can create another upstairs bathroom. I can create another space in the yard. So what we're talking about is my perception of myself may be this small, but now when I can renovate it with mindfulness, meditation, now I can have some extensions. Now mm-hmm. it's a continuation of my growth, because nothing happens in the comfort zone. Right. So pressure, when we think about pressure, pressure creates the diamond. So it's necessary. Even when we talk about the various exercises, the exercise, the reason why we add the weight, because the weight allows the muscle to grow. And if we don't push the muscle, the skeletal system, where it doesn't stay strong, the muscles can't grow. It's like we have to have the tears before we have the growth. And so with meditation, we can go deep inside ourselves. And again, like that doctor who's doing that open heart surgery, we can do our own open heart surgery to carve out these things again, where we resist, where we limit ourselves, and to extract that because it doesn't serve us and move to the next paradigm that the world is sitting here telling us that it needs us to show up in.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you recommend that someone get started with meditation? I get asked this a lot, and, you know, I think there's so many different meditation styles out there. And, you know, some people say, just focus on your breath, let the thoughts pass. Mm-hmm. Then there's mantras, and then there's guided. And I'm curious what resonates with you and what you typically recommend.
So in my class, I have a different type of flow. And I say the person in my class who meditate, the best meditator in my class is the one who breathes the best. Ooh, how about that?
Yes. I like it.
The one who breathes the best, right? And so when we talk about the formula that I have for meditation is when you contemplate, you ask yourself the question, right? Ask yourself the deep question. It could be, what do you desire? And we talked about how we stand in the way, we resist and so forth. You can begin to ask yourself, why? Why am I stopping myself? So you answer your own question, right? So you ask the question, answer your question, and you contemplate on your answer, your response. And through the contemplation of your response, you can realize, are you speaking the truth to yourself? Or are you telling yourself and creating another story? And we meditate and we surrender to that. Because what you'll find is a lot of cases where we're having these head talks with ourselves. We it's like we lie to ourselves a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we have this idea, like in society, we're talking about, okay, Black Lives Matter, or, you know, White Lives Matter, or all these types of things that matter. Well, okay, that's a formality. That's a word that you're speaking. But how are you showing up with this? Or how are you showing up with this idea that you matter on a day-to-day? Are you giving yourself the love that you need? Are you taking care of yourself? Because what we'll find is the consequences of you loving yourself, well, consequently, it's going to create a different type of response of you in the world, your existence in the world. I ask people in my class, what does a fully loved up you look like? Can you imagine that? A fully loved up you and what that will look like. Are you temperamental? Are you moody? Would you be? You know, it's the thought of that. Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is the answer will be no. Why? Yeah. Because you're nourished. You're filled up. You're whole. So it's the idea that hurt people.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
that's really powerful and it's really true. And what I've noticed about myself, the more that I've been practicing, you're having these different practices is I notice how different my thoughts are. And depending on if I'm stressed, like if I'm in a good place, I've had a good run, I've done yoga, I'm like, inspired. I'm open. I feel great. Right. You're fulfilled. Like even if something happens that, you know, isn't what you were hoping for, you're like, it's okay. Like, you know, everything mm-hmm. happens for a reason. My perspective is up here. Right.
Yes.
And then if it's a heavier day or there's just stuff going on, or maybe I didn't get a good night's sleep, or, you know, it's like, it's harder to have that perspective. And what I've been doing now, I just always remember, even in those days where I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not feeling 100%. I remember I don't trust my thoughts as much those days. Yes. You know, it's like knowing that everything that passes through my mind is not true, you know?
Yes. Yes. And that's a very interesting thing that you're speaking of now, because I have a saying, just because you feel it doesn't mean it's real.
Yep. Yep.
So, that resonates. Yeah. Because we have to go into, because like for me as an athlete for so long, like over half my life when the time that I had stopped playing the game, well, my body had been in a predicament where it's like, well, I don't trust you. You know, you put me in harm's way your whole life. You've made me go out and hit 300 pounders. Now I quit myself to do so. But now I'm at a point like, you know, I'm like, want to say, well, I love, or just like any other relationship. Mm-hmm. Well, if you negate and neglect for, you know, 15, 20 plus years, and then come in the house and say, I love you, well, your spouse, your partner is going to look at you like, who is this person? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I trust you. So that relationship has to go through a process. And here's the process that we're talking about here. So we got to begin to allow that process to happen, find ourselves in the truth with ourselves, and begin to on a frequent basis. That's why I always talk about frequency, is what are you frequent to? Mm-hmm. Right? When I do it consistently, day in, day out, now I'm building a true relationship with self. And that's going to allow me to create and sustain relationships outside of me to others. Mm-hmm. It's really a very interesting thing, because as I go in, I realize that I don't just exist internally. In the external world, I'm equally there. Therefore, I must participate. Just as much as I'm participating inward, I must participate in the external world as well, because that is me. Mm-hmm. And that's a very different understanding that we've been taught. However, that's the reality since COVID, since being in California, and we see the smoke in the air. And no matter how healthy I feel I am, but I got to breathe this unhealthy smoke, which is going to compromise my health. So therefore, I must contribute to the external world. I must contribute to the peace on the planet. You know, it's the part. It's, you know, I think Ali said, or someone said, it's the rent that we pay for being here, our participation in the world. So yeah.
Yeah, that's, thanks for sharing all that, Keith. This is awesome. You know, I wanted to get a couple of more little tidbits before we close. And one thing, you know, with everything that's happening, I think so many people are experiencing anxiety, and it can surface from, you know, at different times. And, you know, maybe it's, you read a headline, or like you said, there's smoke in the air, right? Like seeing that can, I'm sure, spike a lot of uncertainty and fear and doubt about the future. But for people who are in that situation, if they find themselves having that, like the sensations of anxiety or panic, what would you recommend that they do as far as, you know, breathing, or maybe, you know, again, like contemplating what's happening, or wondering if you have any thoughts or suggestions?
Well, totally. I have a lot of thoughts around that. I think a lot of times when you talk about stresses, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of stresses that we put on ourselves and like what we consume. So what I find is really, really effective and efficient when I realize a regimen of how I eat, when I eat. And so I typically tell people in the mornings, the body flushes, is still flushing. So allow yourself to take in maybe a smoothie in the mornings, right? Or drink a lot of, when you wake up, first thing you do, grab a glass of water. On every hour, drink a glass of water. According to your weight divided by 2 ounces is how much water you should drink on a day-to-day basis. And then by noon, have your biggest meal, your lunch around noon and 1 o'clock. And then toward the evening, I begin to eat a lighter meal because I'm going into relaxation. Melatonin is being secreted in my body, so I'm going through relaxation. So that alone, because when we sleep, we take in about 90% of our oxygen. So by doing that, it's going to allow me to have better rest at night. Before you even go to bed, since we're in the tech world and everybody's on the phone and the computers, maybe before you go to bed, an hour before, shut down your laptop. You know, put your phone in another room outside your bedroom. Things like that. Smile more. Smile secretes oxytocin that allows your body to heal. Serotonin allows your body to just heal. When you frown, it secretes negative hormones that can be acidic in the body. You know, just simple things like that. When we talk about meditation, begin as you're driving. Just focus on breathing from the belly. Use ambiance music. Don't really take in words, music that has words. Just have the ambiance, just like relaxing, mellow, string music, things like that. Allow yourself to, on your journey to work, be in that kind of space. Create your environment, light incense, things like that. Make your home the sanctuary, you know? And there's some little things like that you can do that can take you a long way. And again, the effects of it. I've learned if you give the body just a little bit, it'll give you so much more in response.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think hooking up these activities hooking up these practices, like you said, you know, like breathing from your belly when you're driving, or, you know, like if you're washing your hands, maybe that's when you do an activity, or you're brushing your teeth. I think that helps a lot of people be consistent, you know, because it's that consistency on a daily basis. I think that really adds up. And then there's that research too with like mindfulness. You know, after like 8-week MBSR programs, there's positive changes in the brain, which is so cool. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot really to have some really big shifts.
Yes, because like we covered the water, we covered sleep, because, you know, the two greatest causes of dis-ease in the body is dehydration and sleep deprivation. Those are the main reasons of our sicknesses. And now when you're breathing, you're talking about breathing from the belly. Well, the liver resides the emotion of anger, and the kidney resides the emotion of fear. The gut resides the emotion of worry, you know, things like that. The heart, lungs, grief. So when we realize, again, the things that can alleviate the stresses from our bodies, our minds, now we're functioning on a whole different frequency. Mm-hmm. And now we can begin to recruit new neural nets from the frequency, the frequent movement, the frequent actions of doing this on a day-to-day basis that change and consequently create the peace that we desire.
Yeah.
So those simple things like that is what you can do. And those, and even as it sounds so simple, as the, you know, the consequences of that is what I'm so intrigued with, because you're talking about the greatest disruptor. When you change the way that you relate to yourself, that naturally is going to change the way you relate to other people. And that dynamic is what we need on the planet. That dynamic right there, in my opinion, is the greatest disruptor that we can have on this planet right now. So sometimes people are at home saying, well, how can I contribute? That alone, it's like begins to be the ripple effect, because you never know how that's going to affect the people around you. And even as we begin to, as I noticed that when you breathe deeper and having conversations with other people, well, it just naturally allows them to breathe deeper.
Yeah,
when you have a calm, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, that calmness that you have and you create, it's going to create a calm for other people as well. And again, not that you're doing it for other people, but that's just the consequences of you doing it and how it affects other people.
Yeah,
so those are simple things that you can take with you right here, right now, today.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know, mirror neurons. So like, you're, you know, we're empathetic beings. So
yes.
Pick up, you know, and then also like the whole world of energy, but you pick up what other people are giving off and you're giving off to everybody else. So we all impact each other for sure. I would love if you could share how people can find your book. And then if maybe there's just like a couple little highlights, and then how everyone can find you as well, 'cause you're doing tons of cool stuff. You have retreats and you do speaking and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. My website is keithmitchell59.com. 59 is not my age. It was my number. Some people ask me that.
You don't look 59, Keith. No way. No way.
My book is The Mindfulness Playbook. It's 8 strategies at winning at the game of life. And it's a codified way of creating a formula for doing what you do on a day-to-day basis. So it's a playbook for you to initiate, to do it over and over and over again. And from that dynamic, you begin to build an intuition about how you do what you do. And in a lot of cases around love, it really affects us and relationships and problem solving, in my opinion. So I look forward to getting that book. The book should be out before the holidays. It's going to be ebook, hard copy, as well as an Audible. So I'm really excited about it, you know. I mean, I used to hit people for a living. Now I'm writing a book about love and kindness. I mean, come on.
I absolutely love it. That's fantastic. Right? Well, I can't
the
wait.
Transformation is real.
Yeah, that's amazing. I absolutely love it. I know. I was a stay-at-home mom, oh gosh, what, 5 years ago, and who was afraid of public speaking. And here I am today.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I think, you know, you never know what you're capable of. You just got to get started and start taking action and start practicing mindfulness and following Keith on checking out his website. So cool. I can't wait to read your book. And thank you so much for being my guest. It was an absolute pleasure.
One more thing I want to say. Yeah. I have a retreat coming up in Mexico, January 21st through the 24th. We had it during COVID and in Mexico, in Tulum. We sold it out. It was, you don't have to be a couple to attend, but it was in mindfulness, relating and in regards of that, because the interesting thing with meditation is we learn how to build this serenity within ourselves, but naturally we want to give it and learn how ways to extend it to others. So I'm really compelled to really go into that, after my first book and really dive into that dynamic. And because the first line of nutrition is human to human connectivity. Mm-hmm. In that intimate space, we thrive. And I want you to just do some due diligence in your mind to think about your relationships. And one of the goals is like, how can I be better relatable? Mm-hmm. And one of the questions, am I lovable? And when we talk about love for ourselves, we have this idea and there's a reality. And the reality is what I want to really dive into. What does that look like? And how can we create better ways to getting this love that we desire? And just like our immune system, it's our natural right. Mm-hmm. You know, as humans, it's like if, you know, so many people in it are in fear of the coronavirus. But the reality is, well, if you're so interested in being here, well, love is the priority. If you don't have love in your life, or an expectancy of love in your life, well, why would you want to be here? So the urgency, the same urgency that we have in regards of coronavirus, is the same urgency that I'm going to suggest that you have in regards of realizing love in your life. And I look forward to you reading the book and hearing more of some of these messages I have with you around this dynamic of relationships. So,
oh, fantastic. That retreat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. Yeah, that retreat is amazing. You said it was January. What is it again, Keith?
21st through 24th, 2021.
All right. Nice way to start a new year.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Keith.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. I have an 8-week online course that can help you optimize your well-being and performance and really have true transformation with daily videos that are about 2 to 7 minutes, so micro content, easily absorbable. And I also am going to be launching a new online course to help you eat to optimize your mood and really optimize your nutrition. So sign up for my email list to be notified of when that launches, which will be very soon. And please follow me on Instagram at livegreatly_CO and on Twitter at livegreatly_CO. You can check me out on Facebook at livegreatly.co. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Crystal Bauer, KRISTEL, and then Bauer is BAUER. Please reach out if I can help you or your business, your team, your organization. I am happy to help however I can. And I greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends and family, and let's really help inspire others to live their best lives. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.